We are watching a major shift in the United States of America, particularly those of us who are Catholics. And we have watched, really since the 1980s, as conservatives, Christians, pro-lifers, Catholics have tried to team together with the Catholic bishops of the United States of America in the political realm. And to be honest, I think I speak for most of us when we say that it's been a bit of a disappointment. It's true that our bishops will come to a pro-life dinner. It's true that they are vocally pro-life. But when it comes to being courageous, when it comes to really being out there, I think after a few decades now, 80s, 90s, aughts, teens, we are a little bit disappointed. Also, there's an open wound in our souls. And that open wound happened in the early 2000s with all the sexual predators and pedophiles that were revealed to be in the priesthood, all the scandals that were opened up through the Boston investigations, the Spotlight investigations. But that was all torn open again. The wound was never healed. It was torn open again in the summer of shame, 2018, when the whole world learned that ex-Cardinal Theodore McCarrick was a pedophile, a predator, an embezzler, and one of the most rotten men in the Catholic Church, a true Judas priest. And since 2018, we Catholic lay people and those outside the Catholic Church have watched as nothing has been done. There was a call for a report. We're supposed to be getting it any day now. And here we are almost 2 years later, nothing from Rome, nothing from the United States Conference of Bishops. In fact, I covered it on this channel. The Conference of Bishops voted not to pursue the investigation on Theodore McCarrick. Now, what this has done since 2018 is we've seen a major shift in the Catholic Church. Slowly, there's been an erosion of confidence among Catholic laity towards their bishops. So much so, I hate to even say it, but for some people, even the word bishop has become a pejorative and a slur. And that shouldn't be. Our bishops, we should honor them. We should respect them. We should see them as the successor of the apostles. But there is this wound. There is this angst that is amongst Catholics. And I'm going to talk about that today because I think it's symbolically represented in the role that Archbishop Vigano has come to play in the hearts and the minds of Catholic lay people, particularly in the United States, but all over the world. The fact that he was the apostolic nuncio from the Vatican to the United States, and that he has been so vocal against the corruption in the Catholic Church, in particular here in America, has in a way inspired Catholics, lay people, to almost see him as a de facto Archbishop of the United States of America. So I'm going to cover that today. I'm also going to cover the CNA article that was a hit piece, a smear on Archbishop Vigano and myself, and I'm going to talk about whether Trump's making the right decision here. I think it is a good move, but will it help him win the election as we move towards November? And what does that mean for Christians? What does it mean for the pro-life movement? So before we get into all that today, I want to welcome everyone. Thanks for being here. God bless and Godspeed. And we're going to open up with prayer. We're going to pray the prayer that our Lord Jesus Christ taught us, the Lord's Prayer, the Our Father, and I'll put the Latin on the screen so you can pray along with me. Oremus. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Pater noster, qui es in caelis, sanctificetur nomen tuum, advenient regnum tuum, fiat voluntas tua, sicut in cielo et in terra. Panem nostrum quotidianum da nobis odie, et dimitte nobis debita nostra, sicut et nos dimittimus debitoribus nostris, et ne nos inducas in tentationem, sed libera nos a malo. Amen. And Heavenly Father, we ask that you would please bless us on this Sunday, and we ask that you would fill our hearts with the Holy Ghost. We ask that this transmission would go well with all the technology, and mostly we ask that you would please restore our church. Help us to be better followers of Jesus Christ, and help us to have confidence in our leaders, in our shepherds, and in our pastors. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Well, I spoke earlier of the lack of confidence that Catholic lay people have increasingly by the decade, by the year, in the bishops. And I was thinking about this before I went online. I was like, there were a minority of bishops who were sort of heroes in the United States Catholic Church. I'm thinking of, you know, Archbishop Chaput, these type of men. And that number has, it's felt like it's begun to shrink under the pontificate of Pope Francis. And I think what we've seen in the last, well, since COVID happened, that's another problem. I didn't mention that in the opening, but Catholics have been in their homes without the sacraments, without church, without Mass, without the Eucharist. Catholics have died without last rites. Catholics who needed confession, who were in mortal sin, had a hard time getting to confession. This creates spiritual anxiety. We shouldn't have spiritual anxiety, but it does create that. So that's been going on. And then we've had all these riots. We've had the statues attacked. And I think for a lot of people, you know, when we saw Bishop Barron elevated to the episcopate and he became Bishop Barron, a lot of people saw him like, okay, we got a visible, outspoken, intellectual bishop, and we can have confidence in that. And I think that moment when they were pulling down the Junipero Serra statues and Bishop Barron said, it's the laity's job. There was a collective gasp online by the Catholic laity when we realized that was the last thread of confidence we had with the bishops, the good Bishop Barron, and it got snipped. There was a collective gasp where it's like, we're all alone. The bishops are standing there in this cultural crisis. And they say, it's the laity's job. I'm going to share a story. I've alluded to it before, but I've never fully told it. When I first became a Catholic, I used to be an Episcopalian clergyman, a priest, and I came into the Catholic Church, and I worked in Washington, D.C. And I remember Archbishop Worrell was the new Archbishop of Washington, D.C. He was not yet a cardinal at this time. And he was coming to give a talk. I helped set up this talk. And at the end of the talk, there was going to be a Q&A. Now, I was in charge of introducing it, setting up, and overseeing the sound. So I remember when Archbishop Worrell came, I'm the one who put the wireless mic on it, and we fed it up, I think, underneath his cassock. So we would have the audio. It would be good audio. And then we were recording the audio to use as an MP3 for our podcast, his presentation. So I didn't know much about Archbishop Worrell at this time. This would be 2006 or 2007. Again, I was a new Catholic, been in the church for just a few months. And he gave his presentation. Now, right before this, Nancy Pelosi had had a mass in D.C. celebrating that she was, again, Speaker of the House. And during the Q&A, this kind lady, just a mother of a family, maybe she's a homeschooler, I don't know, but she got up, she was very nervous. They gave her the microphone, and she was very respectful to Archbishop Worrell of D.C. And she said, Your Excellency, with all due respect and honoring your office, I'm a little confused as to why you would give approval in a church for Nancy Pelosi to have this mass, because, as I understand it, she's very much opposed to the Catholic Church's teaching on abortion and our pro-life stance. Can you explain why you would allow this to happen in your diocese? Archbishop Worrell got visibly upset. He even shouted at the lady. I don't remember everything he said, but I do remember him saying, It's not my job as the bishop, it's your job as the laity. And I inwardly cringed when I heard this, because I thought, as a layman, no, you carry the mitre. I mean, you wear the mitre on your head. You're the successor of the apostles. You're our leader. You carry the crozier. with the hook on it. That symbolizes you can beat off the wolves, and if we start going off the cliff, you can reach out with that hook around our neck and pull us back into safety. Yes, we lay people all have a role in it. That's true. But you, Archbishop, are the leader. You're the father of the diocese. And he sort of, in a Pontius Pilate way, washed his hands in front of everyone. After this event was over, he came back to me in the back in a side room, and he said, delete that to me. Archbishop Worrell, delete that right now. I want it deleted. I want all of it deleted. So we took the mic off of him. I got the MP3. I deleted it. Wish I didn't. I was just trying to obey back then. Because Archbishop Worrell didn't want what he said out in the public. It looked bad. It's the laity's job. That creates a certain anxiety amongst us lay people. I don't think the bishops, this isn't directed to Bishop Barron. I mean, in a way it is. It's directed to all the bishops. They don't understand, they don't feel the pulse of the Catholic layman in 2020. We watch as our schools are closed, parishes are closed. We watch as vocations go down. I think New York had one or two ordinations this year. San Francisco, one or two. We watch as there are no sacraments because of COVID. We understand it's still frustrating. We're told to wear the masks. We're told to go every other pew to have the separating and all that. We understand. But then when the hordes and the mobs and the thugs come after our churches, they burned one yesterday. They rip down the statues and cheer and scream and beat their drums. We want to see a St. Leo the Great march out eye to eye with Attila the Hun. We want to see St. Ambrose of Milan stand on the threshold of the cathedral and look at the Emperor Theodosius in the eyes and say, "You have killed innocent people. You shall not enter the Church of Jesus Christ. Here's a penance for you to perform to show that you are repentant and to come back into the church and then receive Holy Communion." Instead, we see Biden in the churches. The bishops say, "Give him communion." Cuomo, the worst abortion laws in the world. Cuomo sending COVID patients in to elderly nursing homes. These guys are not corrected. And when we bring it up, "Oh, that's your job, lay people." So, what has happened? Well, a champion has stepped forward from Italy, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. And the lay people like what he says. Now, let me tell you a little bit about Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano. Before he came to the United States of America, Pope Benedict XVI, I'm reading from my book here, Infiltration, this one right here, page 217. On July 16th, 2009, Pope Benedict appointed Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano as Secretary General of the Vatican City Governorate. This placed Vigano as third in line administratively under the Pope. Archbishop Vigano immediately insisted on centralizing accounting procedures and full financial accountability. His new policies turned a negative $10.5 million in U.S. money deficit for the Vatican into a surplus of $44 million in just 1 year. Vigano was not a savvy stockbroker. Instead, his new accounting policies uncovered millions of dollars in hidden accounts. The accounting books had shown a deficit of $10.5 million, but by revealing the many accounts off the books, Vigano flushed out $55 million in only 12 months. No doubt, Pope Benedict was delighted to have financial clarity and funds, but was disappointed in his leadership in Vatican City. In January 2012, a leaked document emerged regarding homosexual and financial scandals within the Vatican. Among them were two letters from Archbishop Vigano to Pope Benedict XVI and to the Cardinal Secretary of State, Cardinal Bertone, complaining of continued corruption in the Vatican finances. Now, it goes on here, but basically what happens is Vigano gets in trouble. People in the Vatican don't like him because of what he's showing, what he's revealing. He's bringing that which is hidden into the light. And so Pope Benedict reassigns him. Where does he reassign Archbishop Vigano? To Washington, D.C. Every country in America, country in the world has what's called a nuncio. A nuncio is a diplomat from the Vatican. And the correspondence from the bishops of that nation funnel through the papal nuncio. So Archbishop Vigano was the nuncio in D.C. If you're a bishop in Ohio and you have a situation, you funnel your info to the Pope through the nuncio in D.C. This places Archbishop Vigano in an important situation because he quickly finds out everything going on in the United States of America. One of the things going on was Cardinal McCarrick. Cardinal McCarrick, the pedophile. You can go back on this channel and you can watch. I have two interviews with James Grine. James Grine was the little boy who was molested by ex-Cardinal McCarrick. It's a horrible, horrible thing to listen to. But it explains how this happened. Archbishop Vigano knew about this. And when it comes to light in 2018, you have archbishops, bishops, cardinals shuffling the deck. But Archbishop Vigano comes out. And Bishop Barron even said, when all this came to light, Bishop Barron said, we need to go to Vigano. Vigano was the man in D.C. He knows what's going on. Well, then Vigano started writing letters, and we started learning a lot more. We started learning about a cover-up. We started to learn about public lies that were stated by cardinals and archbishops and bishops. We began to see who was appointed as bishops, who was made a cardinal at the behest of the corrupt pedophile ex-Cardinal McCarrick. We began to learn that McCarrick was involved in the corrupt, evil Chinese deal with the Vatican so that the atheistic communist state of China could appoint the bishops in China. Suddenly, everything starts to unravel. And Archbishop Vigano was the guy who was blowing the whistle. So do you think the bishops of the United States of America and powerful people in Rome like Vigano? No. Archbishop Vigano is in hiding right now. He's staying safe. And he's continuing to write. Well, things continue to escalate, and Vigano writes a letter to President Trump. This is recently. President Trump not only receives it and reads it, he tweets it out to the whole world to read. It was fascinating for me as a Catholic to watch evangelicals, non-Christians, even atheists, reading a letter that Archbishop Vigano wrote to the President of the United States of America. My friends who aren't Catholic were reading it and sending it to me. Have you seen this? Of course I've seen it. Vigano writing Trump. It was a major sensation. And the bishops of the United States of America, the majority, didn't like it one bit. Because it signaled that President Trump had pivoted. For years, for decades, they have said, we the bishops are the gateway to the voters. Work with us. The USCCB is in D.C. And in a way, it is a lobbying organization. They have powerful people. You work with us. Well, now President Trump signaled a new direction. He said, I like this Vigano guy. He shoots straight. Trump likes a guy who can look at the books, the accounting books, and say, hey, this is corrupt. Vigano did that. Vigano's a guy who expose not deep state, but deep church infiltration in the Catholic Church. And Vigano has shown that these deep church corrupt hierarchs are, let's be honest, they're aligned with the Democratic Party. They're aligned with Biden. They don't come out officially, but you when you hear Archbishop Gregory of D.C. and the policies he's pushing and the things he's criticizing, you realize he is anti-Trump, and Trump knows that. So I want to look at this article that just came out a few days ago. Let me see if I can get it up here. This came out by CNA, Catholic News Agency. It was the second article about me in 48 hours. This one's written by Ed Condon. It's 3 days ago. It leads off like this. Now, this is a hit piece. The title is Why White House Catholics Are Concerned About Trump's Catholic Tweets. It begins. Let me see if I can put this on the screen. It's okay. You can look it up. Catholic News Agency. I don't promote you giving them website hits because this is a hit piece, but here's what they said. Officials working in the Trump administration have told CNA that they have been frustrated by recent presidential tweets elevating controversial Catholic figures, saying the tweets undermine the work of many Catholics in the administration hope to accomplish. In recent weeks, the president's Twitter account has cited support from two figures with polarizing reputations among Catholics, the former papal nuncio to the United States, Archbishop Carlo Maria Vigano, and the author and online polemicist, Taylor Marshall. So there you go. It's loaded up already. I'm a polemicist. All right. Then it goes on. While both men have been publicly supportive of the president, both are better known for their criticism of church authorities than for their views on secular politics. And that observation is true. I am not a political commentator. Vigano is not a political commentator. What I'm concerned about is what Vigano is concerned about, and that is we want a Catholic church with Catholic bishops and leaderships who care about the gospel of Jesus Christ and the salvation of souls. We want men who preach that Christ was born of the Virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on a cross for our redemption, and rose again on the third day for our justification, that he ascended into heaven, that he sent the Holy Ghost to strengthen us and to live in our hearts, to give us strength, encouragement, and power to become saints, to love our enemies, to feed the poor, to protect those who are downtrodden. That's what we Catholics believe, and that's what we want. We don't want bishops who are pedophiles or who protect pedophiles or who are predators or who misuse funds so that our churches and our schools and our programs have to shut down. If you're watching right now and you agree with that, let me know you agree. I know you do. That's what we want as Catholics. So heck yes, we are critical. Have you looked around? The house is on fire, bishops. All the demographics are going down. Ordinations, infant baptisms, adult baptisms, confirmations, marriages in the church, down. Everything is down. I don't want to be a Debbie Downer, but I didn't make the numbers up. I'm just looking at the numbers, and I'm realizing we're in a free fall. It's a downward spiral. Do you watching right now, do you agree? Are you happy with the state of Catholicism in 2020? Is this what Jesus Christ, our Lord and King, intended? Is this the ideal that he came to preach? That ex-Cardinal McCarrick would be a free man walking around and that we lay people would have nothing? No explanation, no account, no report? From the Pope or the U.S. bishops? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Seriously. We should all be critical of that. If you like this, please hit the like button. It's the thumbs up. And please share it. Share it on Facebook. Share it on Twitter. Let people know. The article goes on to say, two Catholics in senior positions in the White House administration told CNA the decision to elevate Vigano and Marshall has put the White House at odds with the U.S. bishops. Well, yeah. We are out here saying, bishops, where is the McCarrick report? Why is our church hurting? Why are we the laughingstock at Thanksgiving dinner and at Christmas dinner amongst our non-Catholic friends? Why do we turn on TV and see the Catholic Joe Biden, Catholic and in good standing, with no bishops saying a blessed thing about it for all these years? They told the administration the decision to elevate Vigano and Marshall has put the White House at odds with the U.S. bishops instead of putting a focus on issues of agreement and has frustrated some Catholic administration officials. Okay, we have agreement, but I think Trump also realizes that if he had managers and administrators like the bishops in every quarter, Q1 report, numbers down, Q2 report, numbers down, Q3 down, Q4, annual report, numbers down, those people get fired. You're not doing your job. So Trump knows that the U.S. bishops, he's not even a Catholic, the U.S. bishops are failing. Goes on. Here's a quote from the anonymous officials. It puts those of us who care about the church and care about the work we are doing in a bind, one White House official told CNA. I believe in the work I'm doing and believe it matters as a Catholic, but I spend enough time just defending that simple premise. I don't want to deal with crazy Catholic Twitter too. Well, anonymous person, you do have to. That's the world we live in. You know, it's kind of a bummer that in the old days, we crazy Catholic extremists didn't have a voice. You could just go to CNN, if you were a bishop or a prominent Catholic official, and tell them the story that you needed. That's what Archbishop McCarrick did all those years. He was friends with all the newspapers and the networks. That's why he never got outed and caught. So I don't feel sorry for you, anonymous source. Why don't you put your name out there? Archbishop Vigano doesn't write as an anonymous author. I don't come out here with a black bar over my eyes as anonymous. I say, I am Taylor Marshall, and this is what I say. And I put it in books, and I put it in writing. It's on the record. These people are hiding in the darkness and throwing rocks at us. Person goes on, anonymous, to say, everyone knows the campaign needs religious voters and Catholic voters for sure. But there is such a divide between people working on policy stuff around here and the people doing this. For us, we are doing things that matter on religious freedom, on life issues. We agree. That's great. Keep up the good work. That's great. But you don't understand how out of touch you are with the people out on the ground, out in the churches. Now we have a second anonymous source, a second senior administration official who attends weekly meetings with the president in the Oval Office, told CNA the president believes he has not been supported by U.S. bishops for his efforts on religious liberty and that White House strategists have urged him to court Catholic votes through figures like Marshall and Vigano, end quote. So it's official. There are strategists in the White House who say the bishops are not going to help you. The bishops like Biden. If you want to excite the base, if you want to energize people, if you want to tap into the hurt that people are feeling, Catholics are feeling in 2020, then talk to Vigano. Talk to Marshall. There's a whole different Catholic scene developing out there. If you're a Catholic watching this, you know there's kind of three camps out there. There's your far left, Biden, Pelosi Catholics. These are the people who, you know, they grew up in Boston. They were altar servers, altar boys. After confirmation, maybe they stop going to church. Maybe they go to church some, but they're pro-choice. They're in line with the Democratic Party. And for them, Catholic is like an ethnicity. Yeah, I'm Catholic. Born Irish. That's one camp. Then on the far opposite, you have this kind of really excited, growing movement, traditional Catholics. These are people who definitely go to Mass 52 Sundays a year, Holy Days obligation. Some of them go to daily Mass. They pray the rosary every single day. They pray prayers and they wake up. They pray prayers and they go to bed. They pray before meals. They catechize their children. They go on retreats. They're all in. They really like it. They believe all the way. And I kind of think, you know, Trump, for the most part, has that crowd. There's disagreements, of course. There's things that we don't like about Trump, you know. But for the most part, Trump has that group. I'm in that group, obviously. Then, I mean, that's maybe like 10 or 20% on one end and then 10 or 20% on the other end. And then you've got kind of this 60, 70% group in the middle who are Catholics who go to church most of the year, most Sundays. They believe, they get their children baptized. They want to get married in the church. They don't want to get married at a courthouse. They pray before meals, but they could go either way in an election. You know, maybe they're really passionate about, you know, immigration, or maybe they're really passionate about other social programs. I'm pro-life for the most part, but I'm also passionate about these other things. Or I'm really upset about this conservative leader, so I'm going to vote against him and I'm going to vote the Democrat. And everyone knows that Trump's never going to get the far left Democrat Catholic. The Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi Catholic, you're never going to get them, no matter how many commercials you run. And he knows he's going to get the traditional Catholics. It's that big group in the middle that swings the election for the Catholics. And last election, Trump was really good at capturing and reaching into that middle part. So I think the decision for the White House is where. We just have a few months left in this election. Where do we invest efforts and time? I don't know what the answer to that is. If I got a call from the White House and they said, which is the way to win? I honestly don't know. But I do agree with the president in that the way that you reach into that big middle is not the bishops. Because that big middle over the last 2 years... You know, it may have been kind of cool 5 or 10 years ago. Oh, I'm going to go to this dinner with the bishop. Or I got a letter in the mail from the bishop. Now that's not so cool. Now that's not impressive. People have an anxiety over the Catholic Church. This is the conversation that Catholics have all across the board. Should I give to the bishop's appeal? I don't think I will this year anymore. How can I give to my parish without the money going to the bishop or the diocese? These are the questions that people on the ground are having. How come the United States bishops haven't issued a report or investigation on McCarrick? How come we're not getting that? Are they just hoping that we'll forget and then one day they'll just never have any accountability or clarity on that? These are the real questions that we're asking. So, I think Trump's right in his approach. Will it help him win? Will it be the winning solution to capture the Catholic vote? My gut says yes. My gut says yes, and here's why. I'm on YouTube, so my perspective is limited, but I'm just talking about my anecdote here. I have watched, over 2 years, people come out of the woodwork. They have said, you know, I was kind of... you know, I was a Catholic, I believe, but you know what? This whole crisis has made me look into what does it mean to be a Catholic? Why am I a Catholic? Is it because grandma was a Catholic? Is it because I had First Communion and confirmation? Do I really believe this stuff? Do I believe in transubstantiation? Do I believe that a virgin conceived by the Holy Ghost and gave birth to a Messiah? Do I really believe this? That Jesus Christ, fully God, fully man, rose from a tomb on Easter Sunday? People ask themselves, because the easy thing is to say, well, this is kind of a fairy tale. I'm just going to play golf on Sunday and vote my conscience. But people are asking themselves a question, and they're coming out with the answer, yes, I do believe this. And now I'm concerned, because before I was just sort of going along with the flow. And now I've realized the flow ain't working. So what do I do now? Okay, I'm going to start praying the rosary every day. I got to start teaching my kids how to pray. We haven't been praying at meals. I got to start leading my family. We got to pray at meals. We are going to pray in public. When we go to a restaurant, I'm going to start praying in public. I'm going to put a statue in front of my house so my neighbors know I'm a Catholic. My parish, the homilies are softballs. I don't like it. I'm going to go find a traditional Latin mass. And I'm going to get invested in that. These are the things that I'm hearing. And when I talk to conservative parishes, traditional Latin mass parishes all across the country, you know what they've said to me over the past year? We have doubled. We have tripled. We're trying to find new land. We got to rebuild. Everyone's coming because they realize that the American Catholic system is broken and busted. And they're asking themselves, how do we get back to that good old time religion? The old Roman Catholicism. You know, the stuff that we did in the 1800s, 1700s, 1200s, 800s, 500s, 100s. You know, that traditional apostolic Christ-centered, I'm a sinner and I need salvation, that religion, I need Jesus every day, that religion, I need that. And that same movement that's happening this past couple years of people who are in the Catholic Church saying, I'm doubling down on what it means to be a Catholic, those are the people who are interested in hearing this message. And those are the people who are saying, you can't trick us anymore, USCCB. We're on to you. We know where Catholic relief money is going. Michael Hitchborn did a report, and we know. We don't like that. We don't want our donation and charity money going to handing out condoms or promoting condoms in the inner city. We don't want that, or overseas. We don't want that. We know Cardinal McCarrick was a pedophile, and yet we don't have a report from y'all yet. So we're not going to give you money anymore. We're going to invest in this traditional religious order of sisters or friars or monks. I'm going to invest in this traditional Latin mass community. I'm going to double down on my pro-life work. And I sense that the advisors of President Trump have tipped him off to what's going on in our hearts and minds. I'm going to continue on to this article a little bit. The anonymous officials each independently attributed the decision to highlight support from outside the Catholic mainstream. If you're watching this show right now, you are outside the Catholic mainstream. Let me tell you that. They attributed the decision to highlight support from outside the Catholic mainstream to Dan Scavino, White House Deputy Chief of Staff for Communications and the president's social media director. They said it is part of a broader effort to stroke enthusiasm among the president's most ardent supporters through social media engagement. Dan Scavino's right. That's why this video is happening right now. People want to knock Vigano down. People want to knock me down. Well, we don't need the New York Times, the Washington Post, or CNN. We just write a letter. We just put out a tweet. We make a YouTube video. How many people are watching right now? 5,884. That's pretty good. By the way, if you're watching, please hit the like. Do the thumbs up. It's the little thumb beneath me. And then also, please share this video. Because you're not going to see this story on Fox News. Definitely not going to see it on CNN. We are outside the mainstream, as this anonymous source says. We are outside the mainstream. Then it goes on to say, they said, you know who is putting Vigano's letter in front of the president? It's coming from Scavino. He runs all that side of things. So this is ultimately a schmear. It's a hit job against Vigano, Scavino, people like me, Taylor Marshall. They don't want us talking. Remember back when President Trump visited the John Paul II Shrine in D.C.? They flipped out. Remember when he held up a Bible in front of a non-Catholic Episcopalian church? The Catholic clergy, like James Martin, Slim Jim, the Jesuit, he flipped out. He was on Fox News, so put out, so upset. Archbishop Gregory of D.C. was ticked. How dare a non-Catholic president stand in front of a non-Catholic church and hold up a Bible? They were very quick to condemn that. When were they quick to condemn Joe Biden pushing pro-abortion agenda and funds towards Planned Parenthood? Oh, never. They never were. When were they quick to jump up and say, Nancy Pelosi doesn't represent Catholic teaching? Oh, never. That's why Archbishop Worrell came to me and said, delete that file. Because he knows it's out of touch with the Catholic lay people. For years, these bishops thought, well, I'll just, if they think I'm a liberal, I'll just say, yeah, but pro-life, pro-life, pro-life. And then all the Catholic lay people like, oh, we have such a conservative bishop. He's such a good guy. He said the word pro-life. And then they would go back and do their thing. That doesn't work anymore. 2020 doesn't work anymore. And you've got these hit pieces from Catholic News Agency, which, by the way, is under EWTN, Mother Angelica's Legacy. So Vigano and me are getting attacked by CNA, Catholic News Agency, affiliated with EWTN. Thanks, EWTN. They've got their tentacles throughout the mainstream Catholic media. So I'm going to close up here. A few observations. The first thing, as I said at the very beginning, and that is the people, the Catholics on the ground, have de facto turned their attention to Archbishop Vigano, who's a controversial figure. It used to be in the old days, Catholics were like, oh, my Bishop of Chicago, he's great. You know, I stand by my bishop. I'm going to invite some friends to his dinner to raise money, capital campaign. I'm going to take a picture with him and show all my buddies at work, maybe put it on my desk at work. I'm friends with the bishop. That's not how people are anymore. No one who's seriously living their Catholic faith says, I'm all about Cardinal Supich. The guy's the bomb. Love me some Cardinal Supich. Nope, nope, nope. We now live in the time of the internet, and it's no longer geographical. I don't know how this is going to work out in years to come, but it's no longer a geographical game. People now in America say, oh, I like Bishop Strickland in Tyler, Texas. That guy is solid. I like what he says. I follow him on Twitter. That's who I go to. They say, oh, on Sunday, I'm going to listen to a sermon by Father Mike Schmitz. I like to get my gospel teaching from Father Mike Schmitz. Or, oh man, every day I tune in to Father Mark Goring. I like what he says. I like, you know, he speaks to my heart. He's dynamic. More and more people, they're like, local pastor throws out softballs. Doesn't inspire me. Now people can choose. My local bishop, who sent yet another letter about wearing a mask, or another letter about you got to vote for immigration, or Archbishop Vigano, he writes about the salvation of souls. He talks about the Blessed Mother with passion. He really believes in Jesus. He believes in a heaven and a hell, and he wants us to go to heaven. I like Vigano. I think everybody on here, if you like him, say V for Vigano. Write that into the live chat. V for Vigano. V for victory. Our Lady of Victory. So that's one thing. There's been this angst, this hurt, this open wound. I mean, who is the American bishop? Vigano is Italian. Who is the American bishop in America who reaches out and says, I know you guys are hurt, I'm going to go figure out this Cardinal McCarrick thing? Who is that? That's the problem. That's the problem. The second thing is, we have a problem with communication. There is a shift, just like there's a shift away from certain bishops to virtual affiliations, like with Archbishop Vigano. There's now a shift away from, well, I no longer go by what my local bulletin says, like we did in the 1980s. I no longer go with just what the bishop says when he comes to my parish once a year. Now, every day I have stuff coming in from all kinds of priests, James Martin, Father Brad Sweet, all kinds of guys on Twitter, all different kinds of sources. I can find the fruit. I can find what feeds me. I can get fed. And we no longer have to rely on these hit pieces, the official Catholic media like CNA, Ed Condon, these guys. Where do they get their paycheck? The bishops. What are they going to write about? Pro-bishops. I mean, isn't it interesting that within a week of me saying, where are the bishops in California? Where are the bishops in the U.S. standing up to desecrating churches and pulling down statues and all that? Within a week, CNA writes two pieces on me to discredit me. I'm an extremist. I'm a radical. I'm a polemicist. Now, the second, and then the final part of today's commentary is, how does this all fit in for Trump? To me, I would like Trump to be elected. I think we're all Catholics are going to get hurt. The pro-life movement's going to get slaughtered in November if Joe Biden becomes president. I've said it before. Biden will pick a female vice president running mate, and he'll be president for 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, and then he'll say, I've got medical issues. My mind isn't right. Y'all all knew that. I, the white man patriarch, am going to hand over the presidency in this historic moment to the first woman president. That's how it's all going to go down. And she's going to be all pro Planned Parenthood. Just watch. It's going to be horrible. Ultimately, my battle is for the church, my mother. I don't know how America's going to go. As a citizen, I'm concerned. My heart is for the church. I want my kids to grow up. I'm a Catholic. I'm behind my pastor. I'm behind my bishop. I'm behind my pope. We all believe the same thing. We all want the same thing. We're all moving forward. That's my passion. If you follow me on this channel, you know that's what I talk about. Now, part of that, for the next 4 years, if we can just pause the craziness in the United States of America and have four more years of Trump, I think it would be better than four more years of Biden. But ultimately, we need Jesus. The only way to fix the brokenness of America is Jesus. And the only way we can deliver Jesus to a hurting nation and a bunch of people who are atheists, Antifa, all this crazy communists, the only way we can do that is authentic teaching and heroic leadership. Yes, the laity are going to be involved. Yes, the laity have to be saints. But man, we need some holy, holy bishops who come out in their mitres and their croziers and preach like apostles. Apostolic success with apostolic succession. That will convert a nation. that will convert a nation. And we lay people, we are ready. If someone like Vigano popped up on American soil, we would be rallying to him. We'd be donating our funds, our time, we'd volunteer. We would do everything for an authentic apostolic witness to help lead us. I don't want to be the guy on YouTube. I can't do that. I'm a dad with a webcam above his garage. I got 8 kids. I'm not a bishop. I don't have a mitre. I can't ordain priests and I can't confirm your teenagers. We need a holy prelate. That's all we're asking for. We want a holy prelate. All right. Well, thanks everybody for watching. I'm going to close this up in prayer. We're going to pray the Ave Maria. We're going to pray the Glory Be. And I want to encourage everyone to pray Vigano's new prayer that he wrote for the United States of America and for the president. You can get that prayer I have a PDF version and I have an HTML version, and I'm going to put out this really beautiful, pretty version that my buddy Steve Nelson, who does the book covers on my book, he made a really nice graphic version of it. You can get it at taylormarshall.com/Vigano. There's no accent on the O, final O. taylormarshall.com/Vigano. Pray that with your rosary. Pray, if you're an American, or if you're not American, you want to, pray for America. Vigano wants people praying for America. You know, where are the bishops in the U.S. saying, hey, I wrote this prayer, I want Americans to pray for the spiritual healing and benefit of our nation? I haven't seen one, but Vigano wrote a prayer. Archbishop Vigano wrote a prayer, and so I'm going to be praying it with my family, praying it with my wife. All right, so now we're going to pray together the Ave Maria and the Glory Be. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. And I think we should pray this for our nation, for the United States of America, and for the renewal of our church in America, because it feels like a mess. Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum. Benedicta tu in mulieribus et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc et ut hora mortis nostrae. Amen. Gloria Patri et Filio et Spiritui Sancto, sic ut erat in principio, et nunc, et semper, et in saecula saeculorum. Amen. And God, we consecrate and dedicate our lives, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our children, our wealth, everything good that we have, we consecrate it and dedicate it to you. And we ask that you would please use us, and that you would make us great saints, and that you would give us the peace that Jesus Christ came to give us, that we would not have any angerness, any bitterness, but we would resolve ourselves to your will and to your providence. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Saint Joseph, pray for us. All right, everybody, thanks so much for watching. If you like this video, please hit the like button, thumbs up. That tells YouTube, hey, I like this video, and they'll show it to other people. I think this is a very important video. And also, while you're at it, right next to the thumbs up is share. Click the share button, click Facebook, share to your Facebook page. People need to hear this. Non-Catholics need to hear this. Non-Catholics need to know that we are not content having a church of infidelity, sexual immorality, financial embezzlement. We are not okay with that. So please hit the share button and please share it on Facebook or Twitter. Facebook is better. Please share it. And then if you're new, please subscribe. I am live right now. And if you want to be notified whenever I go live, please hit subscribe and hit the little notification bell. That will send you a notification that we are live. And if you're on a phone or a mobile device, make sure your YouTube notifications are on or you won't be notified. That's just how it works. You got to hit both notification spots. Thanks for everybody's support on Patreon, signing books, merch, stuff like that, sending it out. Thanks for making this show possible. Please, if you want to get free books or help support what I'm doing and my message, go to patreon.com/drtaylormarshall. I'm not part of the Catholic mainstream media. None of them send me a check or anything like that. So if you want to support, you can do that via Patreon. I really do appreciate you. And to show you my thanks, I'll send you some cool free stuff. Also, there's a highlights channel, a second channel. If you want to get short, this video is 50 minutes. If you want to get short versions, highlights, subscribe to my second channel, Taylor Marshall Highlights, Dr. Taylor Marshall Highlights. All right, well, that's the show. Make sure that you are praying the rosary. You must pray the rosary. This is what Our Lady asked in 1917 at Our Lady of Fatima. All lay people, all clergy, pray 5 decades of the rosary every day. It's the Bible on beads. It helps us to have joy. I'm a joyful person. I'm happy. You can ask my wife. I'm having a good time. But I also cover a lot of dark, nasty things. And the way that I don't get sucked down the hole of discouragement and darkness is Jesus Christ and Our Lady. To Jesus through Mary. The rosary is my connection every day that gives me the peace that only Jesus can give us. So pray the rosary every day, or you're just not on the team. You can't complain if you're not praying the rosary, because the rosary is the weapon. Pray the rosary or you're not on the team. And remember, our Lord Jesus Christ said, you are the light of the world and the salt of the earth. So go out there and be salty. Thanks so much to everybody watching. God bless. Godspeed. Pray for our nation. Pray for our president. Pray for our bishops. Pray for our popes. Jesus is listening.